The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast from the Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee, it's Tuesday 10th of November, and joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Henry Barnes. Henry, we finally have a name for our film podcast.
We do, hey!
What is it?
Trumpets Marching Band. Ben Green, producer Ben from Football Weekly, gave us the best idea. And actually, can I just put in an honourable mention for one of the ones we got from EH Billion, which was Ow My Kidneys, which I really liked.
Yeah, me too.
But the name that we're going for, producer Ben's idea, is... drumroll... Podcorn.
I like it.
Which I quite like.
I like it too.
And you get it, right?
I get it.
Podcast? Popcorn?
Yep, no, definitely
Podcorn.
Got it.
Popcorn. Okay, good. Definitely got it.
We have a name. It's good news.
Popcorn.
It's also good news for streaming platforms.
What a segue.
eh? This is actually much more interesting than it sounds. But it's been a strong few days for streaming platform news. Firstly, Amazon purchased Nicholas Winding Refn's upcoming horror film, The Neon Demon. Neon Demon, that's hard to say, which stars Keanu Reeves, Christina Hendricks and Elle Fanning. It's about an aspiring model who moves to LA and becomes the envy of a group of beauty-obsessed women. I've also just found out that Netflix are teaming up with the host director Boon Jong-ho for a film called Okja, which has got a rather great cast of Tilda Swinton, Jake Gyllenhaal, Bill Nighy, Paul Dano and Kelly MacDonald, and Brad Pitt's producing, not sure if he's starring yet. It's a monster movie about a friendship between a small girl and an animal named Okja. It's actually becoming a really interesting time for stream platforms and kind of independent filmmakers and the kind of stuff they can do with them too. So there was Carrie Fukunaga's Beast No Nation recently. Amazon have got a new deal with Woody Allen, making this Kristen Wiig comedy too. And what's interesting is that Okja, for example, has a $50 million budget, and Boon Jong-ho has said that he could never have made this film without this budget, but also with an agreement by Netflix that he could still have creative control, because his last film, Snowpiercer, was kind of dumped by the Weinstein. It's not even been out here yet. Do you think that kind of without having to worry about box office, it's kind of there's a freedom these platforms can have with independent film directors?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is at the moment. And I think it's really in the filmmakers... the filmmakers have the advantage at the moment, I think, because it's such an undeveloped area and a lot of these places feel like they have money to burn. Presumably they do because of the massive subscriptions they get. Filmmakers can get way more freedom with them than they could in a traditional studio system, or even get their film made when they could never get their film made before. I think Amazon's particularly interesting because they have this idea where members of the public can pitch in their ideas as well, which is the kind of early thinking that you think that could be kind of corny and cheesy. And they do have things like Zombies v Gladiators in development, or The Detourist, which is about a guy who takes his family on a dangerous holiday, which we might have seen
that
before.
Sounds great though.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they both sound great, obviously, but I mean, yeah, so in terms of the filmmakers getting more freedom, it's great for them. I just wonder how long that's going to last. I think we're in a kind of Wild West territory at the moment where streaming revenue is still incredibly high, so they have this money to play around with, to throw around a little bit. Whether someone like Nicholas Winding Refn gets a biggish deal further down the line when things are a little more codified, I'm not so sure.
There's got to be a cap, because I know Netflix had these really high projections for how many subscriptions they'd get in the US, and they actually fell short of those recently they announced, and then they're having to kind of retool their funding and stuff. So you've got to wonder how long they can afford to fund these kind of gambles, because once this film's made, once this Okja, this $15 film's made, there's no box office to be got. I mean, they will try a small release, but Beast No Nation had a very small theatrical release in the States and it bombed because no one really got the point of going to see a film they can watch at home.
Yeah, and at the moment, a lot of these announcements are massive publicity themselves, right? The idea that someone like Nicholas Winding Refn, who is a name in art cinema, is coming to a new service like this, he's endorsing it, and they need that endorsement at the moment. What will endorse it further, and what might, you know, elevate them or catapult them into the stratosphere, is if they get any kind of Oscar nomination for Beast of No Nation, or even in future. I think it's probably too early for that film to make any mark, but in the next few years, if we see Oscar nominations for these films and even wins, then this system becomes truly validated by old school Hollywood as well as the new industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened with TV, House of Cards, you know, it's been getting sort of Emmys, and I think it's film should be next. Henry, there's a new Twitter storm, watch out.
I've got an umbrella.
Get in the shelter.
It's all over a piece of casting news, which never happens at all.
Okay.
But Mariah Carey has joined the cast of the Lego Batman movie. It was initially reported she'd be playing Commissioner Gordon, voicing Commissioner Gordon, but it's now been confirmed that she's actually, in fact, playing the mayor, which obviously makes much more sense for Mariah Carey to play the mayor. of Gotham. She's joining Will Arnett, Rosario Dawson, Ralph Fiennes and Michael Cera. There's been quite a lot of anger. People thought she was playing Commissioner Gordon, and there's been just a bit of anger instead now they know she's playing the mayor. This sort of casting fury seems to happen frequently these days. Mm. There was a similar rage last week over Noomi Rapace playing Amy Winehouse in this new biopic. Do you think people need to just kind of trust the casting process more when these kind of announcements are made, or are they allowed to get pissed off?
I think people are forgetting what acting is, right? Acting is embodying somebody else. So why not give Mariah Carey a go as Commissioner Gordon or the mayor? Are people really that in love with the character of the mayor, who I didn't even know was a Batman thing? Apparently they are. Why do people get angry about Lego?
Yeah, I mean,
it's insane,
it's a
right?
voice too. But I mean, especially I think when it kind of when it crosses over into a property like Batman, when it has this kind of fervent fan base, I mean, people
yeah,
get angry
Batman,
whoever it is
then.
Though.
It's not like, I mean, there's so many different shades of Batman, aren't there? So many different shades of dark, but Lego, it's Lego. It's not, you know, Frank Miller. It's not the heavy dark stuff that Christopher Nolan making. It's Lego. Let's have some fun.
Like Heath Ledger playing the Joker, or even Daniel Craig playing James Bond, there was quite a lot of fury over.
Yeah.
I think people often forget there's a skill behind the casting process too, yeah. and I mean, often these gambles tend to pay off. But
well, this is goes back to a thing we've talked about before, and again, there's a story about Stonewall out today where students have complained about the lack of diversity in it, and they haven't actually seen the film, so they're making an uproar about nothing, essentially. They know nothing, but they're getting angry about knowing nothing, as well as the perceived idea of what they could maybe be angry about, which is nutty and can only happen on the internet. But we all live off it in a way as well, because we'll report news stories about that.
We're talking
kind of
about
thing.
It now.
So, exactly. You know, it's a self-fulfilling, self-feeding thing. We should all try and resist it, but none of us do.
Henry, I've got some sad news for you.
Oh.
Danny Boyle's grieving.
Oh, what's happened?
Sorry to tell you that, but he was all into the idea of making a David Bowie musical, but Barry was not at all up for the idea. So it's made him very sad, and he made Steve Jobs to try and help him get over it. Boyle's still keen to do this Bowie movie, but it's not going to go forward without Bowie on board, because he actually threatened to sue the makers of Velvet Goldmine a while back and demanded substantial rewrites before it went into production, as he believed it was too closely linked to his life. Now, it's kind of interesting, because there have been quite a few biopics that have gone ahead either without the permission of the subject or their family, mm-hmm. or without the rights to actually use the musical words. There was the Jimi Hendrix film, All Is By My Side, the Gwyneth Paltrow, Sylvia Plath movie, and even Ava DuVernay didn't actually have the rights to use Martin Luther King's words in Selma. What do you think the etiquette should be with situations like this?
The etiquette?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's good to ask permission, isn't it?
But you think it's okay to go forward if you haven't actually got the permission of the... Or do you think it actually allows you more freedom, because you can kind of be a bit more disparaging if you need to be about the subject?
I think it's down to the filmmaker, down to the script. I thought All Is By My Side was a really good film, and that's a contentious film, because people, including Kathy Etchingham, who was Hendrix's girlfriend, have said it's absolute nonsense. There's so many falsehoods in there. There's so much fabrication. There's stuff about Hendrix being violent, being a domestic abuser when he wasn't, according to Etchingham. And, you know, at the same time, still a good film, still an interesting film, an interesting way to show the musician, an interesting way to interpret his music, even if you're not using it. And I really liked it. I thought John Ridley did a good job of that. So, yeah, it can be good if you're inventive with the creative restriction, I guess. And sometimes creative restriction is the best thing for you in terms of making a decent movie. And then there's the other side of that, when using the music isn't necessarily that necessary. So Edwin Collins' film, The Possibilities Are Endless, which was one of my favourite films of last year, talked about his stroke and about his recovery from that. And it wasn't that necessary to talk about Orange Juice and talk about his solo stuff that much. So you got these little snippets of the songs, but only enough so that people would recognise it, and that would be buried under feedback and wave sounds and all this kind of stuff. So that was an interesting way of showing literally a man's life falling apart by showing his most popular works then destroyed.
Also, looking at the kind of the officially backed biopics like Straight Outta Compton, mm-hmm. which we know the band members are actually on board as producers, which many people actually sort of criticised for kind of having a neutered view of their past and some of the things that domestic violence or the darker side of things they didn't actually want to cover because the band was so heavily involved.
That's true. And then in terms of music, you do sit through those films thinking, I'm waiting for you to play your big hit, and I know it's coming. And there's the crazy scene in that film where Snoop Dogg comes over and Dr. Dre starts playing the na 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 na. It's like, oh, I've nearly got it. Hold on, I've got something. 1, 2, 3, and to the four. It's like, you didn't do it like that. There's no way that you suddenly played the riff and then Snoop Dogg suddenly came out with one of the most recognisable raps of all time. It just doesn't work like that. I mean, unless you're incredibly gifted, it just doesn't work like that.
Now, we're coming to the end of the podcast today. Don't forget to check out theguardian.com/film for the latest film news and features, and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Today, you can find out the latest UK box office news. Spoiler, people are still going to see Spectre. An interview with Woody Harrelson. See you tomorrow. And because we don't have the rights to end with the David Bowie lyric, I'd like to offer up the vision of Seafarers scrapping in the nightclub. Oh boy, view those Neanderthals go. It's the craziest performance. Goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.